This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The pressure is building at both ends. In the United States, greater numbers of Americans want troops out of Iraq, as support for Bush's invasion and occupation continues to decline. In Iraq, besides the armed resistance which Rumsfeld now estimates can last 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years, in his words, other voices are demanding the U.S. get out. Nearly one-third of those elected to the Iraqi parliament issued a June 19 statement saying they reject the occupation's legitimacy and renew our demand for these forces to withdraw. And this view was echoed in a statement by the major Iraqi university student organizations. And in a historic first that brought these two pressure points together, U.S. Labor Against the War organized a speaking tour of 25 American cities for 6 leading members of major Iraqi trade unions. David Bacon was one of the organizers of that tour, and we've reached him in the San Francisco area. Good morning, David, and welcome again to Red Eye.
Hi, Mordecai.
Why did you organize the tour? Why did U.S. Labor organize the tour?
Well, for a couple of reasons. The first is that it's important that people in the United States hear from Iraqis themselves about how they view the occupation, what they see as its economic purpose, the threat of the privatization of Iraq's state sector of its economy, and also kind of like hear from them about what their vision is of what Iraq could be in terms of a democratic and progressive kind of a society, and the kinds of traditions of Iraqi progressive, you know, politics that trade unionists are part of. So that was a part of it, was to just give people that opportunity. The other part was to consolidate the sentiment in our own labor movement here in the United States in opposition to the occupation and the war, and then go to the AFL-CIO convention in July and try and fight for a position by our entire labor movement rejecting the occupation.
There were 3 different union groupings that came. Could you just identify each of them and tell us a little bit about the kind of memberships they have?
Sure. The 3 unions were first the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions and the Federation of Workers' Councils and Unions of Iraq. Both of those are union federations, in other words, groupings of individual unions. And the third was the General Union of the Oil Employees of Iraq, which is Iraq's Oil Workers Union. The Oil Workers Union is the largest and most powerful single union in Iraq. It's located in southern Iraq, in Basra, where about 70% of Iraq's oil reserves come from. And right now, this is the only place where oil is actually being produced because the infrastructure of the oil industry in the north around Kirkuk has been badly damaged, and also the pipelines are, you know, regularly bombed, and so it's not possible for them to export oil through the north. So all of the oil exported from Iraq right now is coming out of the south, which gives that union really an enormous amount of power and leverage over production, which they have used, actually, very effectively. So they have about 23,000 members, and they are say that they're an independent union. We can talk a little bit about what that actually means in the south. The Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions is made up or was started by people who were really the organizers of Iraq's trade union movement in exile during the years of Saddam Hussein. The Iraqi labor movement is pretty old. It began in the 1920s. And when the Iraqis overthrew the monarchy that was imposed on them by the British in 1958, unions became legal and quite powerful organizations. Then, with the succession of coups that eventually led to the Ba'ath Party gaining power in Iraq and then Saddam Hussein becoming the head of the Ba'ath Party and the head of the Iraqi government, unions were suppressed once again, and that was a very bloody process in which lots of people were executed and progressive Iraqis were forced into exile or forced underground. So in exile, they organized a union called the Workers' Democratic Trade Union Movement. And then when the Saddam Hussein regime fell, people came up from underground or back from exile and began reorganizing the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions, which they viewed as being kind of like the successor or the inheritor of the trade union tradition that had gone before. So they now have 12 different unions that are for different industries in Iraq, and say they have about 200,000 members. The Federation of Workers' Councils and Unions of Iraq originally started with the movement of the unemployed that began in the wake of the beginning of the occupation. There were big demonstrations of unemployed people because unemployment has been such a huge problem in Iraq. And those demonstrations led to the formation of the Union of the Unemployed of Iraq. That, in turn, began spreading to different factories in Baghdad and later to other areas of the country, as workers kind of spontaneously began organizing in some of their workplaces. So those unions that were formed in that way then eventually affiliated themselves to this larger federation, which is called the Federation of Workers' Councils and Unions. And I think that they have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000 members across Iraq, mostly in Baghdad and then in some cities in the north. So those are the three organizations.
You mentioned the oil, the General Union of Oil Employees is independent, and you said you'd like to say a little bit more about that. Could you?
Sure. The two federations are both connected to political parties. So the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions is connected to the Iraqi Communist Party and the Iraqi National Accord, which was the party of Isad Alawi, who was the head of the Iraqi government up until the January elections. And then there's also a party of Arab Socialists that's part of it as well, too. The Federation of Workers' Councils is supported by the Workers' Communist Party of Iraq, which is a small kind of left-wing organization. So the General Union of Oil Employees says, first of all, that they don't want to be connected to any political party. Also, they don't view themselves as being organically connected to any of the other union federations. However, in practice, in the South, in Basra, the Oil Workers Union, first of all, has helped other unions to get organized, the Union for Longshore Workers and the Union for Workers in Power Stations. And those unions are affiliates of the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions. So in some ways, they all function as part of one larger labor movement, even though the General Union for Oil Employees is not officially part of the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions. They just held a conference, which I went to, in Basra about a month ago to oppose the privatization of the oil industry. And they began trying to organize what I would call kind of like a general political coalition or front to oppose privatization. So in this conference, they had people there from political parties, including, for instance, Ali Sistani's party, the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, which is more or less Iraq's governing party right now, the Iraqi Communist Party, representatives of different labor federations, academics from Basra University, generally trying to kind of pull together various elements of Iraqi civil society that on a common platform of opposing the privatization of oil and the privatization of Iraqi industry generally.
Now, tell us a little bit about the tour itself in the United States. What kind of audiences came to hear them, and what responses did those audiences have to the information shared by the Iraqi unionists?
Well, the tour started with all six people together in Washington, D.C. for 5 days. And they held meetings both with rank-and-file trade unionists in the Washington-Baltimore area, but also with the leadership of some large unions, like, for instance, the Communications Workers of America. They met with Morty Barr, who's the president of CWA, and with the leadership of the Service Employees Union, which is, you know, both of those unions have been very active in U.S. labor against the war. They had a meeting with Sweeney, which would the head of the AFL-CIO, which was there was originally some problems about, because Sweeney originally said that he would only meet with them if they weren't accompanied by representatives of U.S. labor against the war, and then the Iraqis refused to meet with him, and so Sweeney kind of backed down and met with them together with the leadership of U.S. law, and the Iraqis made a appeal to Sweeney to take a position in opposition to the occupation, which he didn't answer directly. So that sort of started the tour. And then they split up with the representatives of the IFTU going up the East Coast through New York and Boston into New England, the people from the Federation of Workers' Councils going through the Midwest, and the people from the General Union of Oil Employees coming up the West Coast from Los Angeles all the way to Seattle. So in the process, they visited about 25 cities and spoke to, you know, meetings with thousands of people, basically. It was just very, very, very successful tour, and they, you know, ordinary working people did get a chance to hear them. A lot of the meetings were broad meetings that included unions but weren't limited to them, so that people who were not union members or came from the broader peace movement had a chance to hear them as well. So they were actually very enthusiastically received by audiences, you know, all over the place.
And do you feel that it has helped the momentum to get more of the organized union movement in the United States supportive of an end to the occupation position and a timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops?
Yes, I think it helped it quite a bit. You know, I thought for some time that if we were actually able to poll U.S. union members, that I think actually a majority of U.S. union members would be opposed to the war. You know, this, I think, reflects the sentiment generally, which is that, you know, now about 60% of the U.S. public in surveys don't agree with the Bush administration's conduct of the war and are looking for some way to get out of Iraq. So union members, I think, are kind of, in the first place, reflective of that opinion, and if anything, I think somewhat more opposed to the occupation than people in general. So what this tour did was, first of all, I think it sort of helped to deepen and consolidate that kind of sentiment among union members, because they could hear Iraqis themselves calling for this and have the feeling that they were, in a sense, sticking up for their brothers and sisters in Iraq by taking the same position here. And, you know, that was very important. But I think it also is helping us to, you know, turn this general sentiment of opposition into actions that will actually help Iraqis, whether it's trying to get our own labor movement to officially call for an end to the occupation, as well as to begin setting up relations between unions here in the United States and unions in Iraq that can help to funnel resources to the Iraqis that they need, whether it's, you know, material resources like money or computers or political support. Right now, for instance, the U.S. occupation is still enforcing the old Saddam Hussein-era Law 150, which says that workers have no right to have unions in public enterprises. And so there's been a campaign undertaken by U.S. labor against the war for some time to try and pressure the U.S. government into not enforcing that law.
I think I've run out of time. I did want to ask you about the differences that they have among the unions on the ways of ending the occupation, but we're going to have to leave that for another interview. Thanks a lot for what you've shared with us this morning, David.
My pleasure, Mordecai.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with David Bacon. He's a labor reporter and photojournalist. He also is active in U.S. Labor Against the War. And if you'd like more information about U.S. Labor Against the War, check out their website. It's www.uslaboragainstwar.org. And remember, it's an American organization, so it's spelled L-A-B-O-R, uslaboragainstwar.org.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.